Now, I don't want to be irreverent, but if you know me a little bit, you know that I like humor, and I do find the Bible has humor to it. And if there was an author in the Bible that would demonstrate that when this person wrote, I can just picture him, John, writing with a twinkle in his eye and a smile on his lips. He is uniquely comedic in bringing something powerful to our hearts. And this is a story in John chapter 9. If you caught the title of the lesson, it goes from labeling becomes libel. When we accuse people, we've done something that God is always reminding us not to do. Because think about this. No one's life can be encapsulated by a comment or two. And no one's life can be defined by something that they've done negatively or poorly or even properly beautiful. Because our life is always changing. But here's this story. In John chapter 9, John writes in a powerful way, something wonderful has happened to this man, but no one seems to be happy about it. And here's the story. We're just going to read it. I'm going to make a couple of comments in here and see if you can relate to this man. John chapter 9. Jesus went along and he saw a man blind from birth. Now I have to stop because sometimes what happens when we read the Bible, at least if you're like me, it's pretty easy to be kind of numb and not really catch the emotion of it. And I want to ask, have you ever known anyone who was born without sight and had to live without ever seeing? And probably we've all met people that way. And they become uniquely gifted in many, many ways. But can you imagine just not being able to see? Okay, sidebar. So there was this 12-year-old boy who struggled in school. And he seemed to be, you know, fairly okay in grasping, reading, and everything else. But in school, he just had trouble. He had trouble all of his life through school, and at the age of 12 in grade 7, he was outside at recess, and they were playing baseball. And he was a little bit too close to the third baseman, standing behind the third baseman. The batter hit the ball, went off the glove of the third baseman, and hit this 12-year-old boy right in the eye. The boy fell on the ground, and of course, it was in such pain. They rushed him to the hospital, and they said he needs to see an eye specialist right away. Went to an eye specialist. And after dialoguing with the specialist basically said, your eyes are going to be okay. That one eye that was smucked, it's going to be okay. He didn't use smuck, but you know what I mean. That eye, it's going to be okay. And then the doctor asked him this question, what's your eyesight like? And the 12-year-old boy said, well, whenever there was a test in school, you know, to check your eyes, they always said my eyes were okay. And the doctor said, I just want to try something. And he gave this 12-year-old boy a pair of glasses, and he put them on. And here's what happened with this boy. Wow. He spent the first 12 years of his life being told that his eyesight was fine. He put on a set of glasses, and he saw a brand new world. Catch this man. Never being able to see, and then being used as an example this way. The disciples asked Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? What kind of strange question is that? But there was this philosophy, there's teaching years ago where there was this thought that if somebody had some kind of physical challenge, it's because they had sinned or someone in their family had sinned. This teaching was so strange, in fact, that there were people who believed that an infant while in the womb could sin. Well, that's pretty crazy. And so Jesus wants to just kind of absolutely get rid of that comment, and here's what he says. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. In other words, watch this. As long as it is day, and here's John. Here's John with his trying to grab his attention. The man is blind. It's dark. It's night. Jesus comes along. He is the light of the world. And then he says, as long as it's day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. Again, symbolism to mean this. Jesus said, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I want to give sight to everyone, especially spiritually. So here comes the story. So this man who was born this way, having said that, Jesus did something unique. He spits on the ground, and he made some mud with the saliva, and he put it on the man's eyes, and Jesus said, go, wash in the pool of Siloam. And this word, as Jeff read to us, means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. But we've got to back up here just a minute. Never being able to see. How old was this man? I don't know. 20, 30, 40? I don't know. Jesus said, you're going to be healed. So Jesus does this, and then Jesus walks away. The man never did see Jesus. This man goes into the water, washes. Can you put the emotion to a man who has never been able to see his parents, his friends, himself? Never being able to see anything? A baby? A tree? The sun? Nothing. He washes, and John, I think, is doing this uniquely. Now I can see. Yeah, but whoa, can you imagine what this is like? And Jesus is going to make a spiritual application. Now, we're going to be introduced to a number of people who don't want to see this man. They want to see the man and label. And now we're going to watch this libel take place. First of all, neighbors. So his neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Now, we have to be a little bit careful in trying to interject some thoughts that may or may not be there. But it was kind of a common belief that if someone was born with a physical challenge, that they must be one rotten person, or somebody in their family is one rotten person. We don't believe that at all, but that's what some people believe. So that man, you know, that guy, never mentioned his name, that one, it's always begging, always asking us. You know, he's blind, but he's always asking us. So they ask, well, is this the guy? Some claimed he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, yeah, I'm the man. How then were your eyes opened? Okay, I've read this story several times this past week, and I want to scream. Won't somebody please be happy for this guy? He can see. Awesome. Who cares how it happened? Fantastic. But no, there's going to have to be some, let me see if you pass the test. You know, whatever the test is, I don't know whatever the test is, but I want to know everything instead of just saying, guy's changed for life. It's for life. It's fantastic. So then, how then were your eyes open? He said, the man they called Jesus made mud, put it on my eyes, told me to go to Siloam and wash. I went and washed, then I could see. Well, where is this man? And here's where the comedy goes in. I don't know. I was blind. I didn't see him. Well, where's the guy that did it? I don't know. I heard his voice. I never saw him. I'm a blind man. He told me to go and do it. How would I know? And then John continues the story. So they brought in the Pharisees, the man who'd been born blind. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been born blind. This is not going to go well. Now, the day on which Jesus made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a, and this is Jesus, This is Jesus. Did this on the Sabbath. Now, could Jesus have done this any other day? Absolutely. So what is Jesus trying to do? He's trying to say, here's this special religious day of the week, Saturday, Sabbath, back with our Jewish friends. It's Sabbath, where you're not supposed to do anything, almost as if God doesn't do anything on the Sabbath, where Sabbath day was supposed to be a day of thinking about God, and here we don't even have to think about God on the Sabbath. God showed up and did something powerful. But because he did something powerful, they equated that with something wrong, because you're not supposed to do anything. Well, God doesn't sleep, and God doesn't rest, and God is always active. So the man's eyes were open on the Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. Again, I think this man must be getting frustrated answering this. This man put mud on my eyes, I washed, and now I see. Aren't you happy for me? It's not there in the text, but I'm thinking, isn't anyone going to be happy about this? Some of the Pharisees said, this man, Jesus, not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath, suggesting that God doesn't do anything on the Sabbath. But others asked, well, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. Okay, so let's go on. Now it gets even more to the point of deep interrogation. It's almost like the man walks into a police station. He's investigated. Now we go to another detective. Now we go to another office, waiting for someone to be happy for him. So then they turned again to the blind man. What have you got to say about Jesus, this man? It was your eyes he opened. And the man said, he's a prophet. They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Okay, let's bring in the parents. They bring in the parents. Is this your son? Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that he can now see? Verse 20. We know he's our son. We know him. He is our son. And we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. And then there's a sidebar here, verse 22. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had already decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. So in other words, if you tell the truth, you're going to be expelled. And we don't want to be expelled because we have our friends who are all gathered together. Are you like me? Are you still waiting for somebody to be happy for this fella? He seems to be lost, as if somehow he's created some horrible event, when in fact, this beautiful life change has taken place. So in verse 24, a second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, meaning we're going to ask you a question, tell the truth. They said, we know this man is a sinner. I don't know about anyone else, but I can't think of a more destructive thing to say about Jesus. They were saying that the man who was born blind was obviously a sinner. And they're saying about Jesus, if he actually did this, that Jesus, who John has already said is the living demonstration of God on the earth, in fact, is God. That God, Jesus, is a sinner. We're in very, very delicate waters. Somehow, our religion can sometimes, just instead of setting us free, lock us down to the point that we imprison ourselves instead of remembering what John said about Jesus. In him was life, and that life is the light for every person. And this is where we can become reflective to ourselves, because I think we miss it. I could be wrong, but I think we miss it unless we read it this way. In Jesus was life, and that life is the light for me and everyone else. That gets lost in this story of accusing and judging, when all along Jesus has changed this person's life. He's given him eyesight. Now he wants to give him spiritual sight. And for those people who were supposed to have spiritual sight, or thought that they did have spiritual sight, were actually blind. And the blind man can now see, and he wants to see something brand new. Right now, what he's seeing is not very enjoyable. So let's just kind of sum up, because here it goes. Verse 25, whether Jesus is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. In other words, I'm fed up, leave me alone, I want to get busy and see the world. Verse 27, he answered, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why? Do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Oops. It's not going to go very well. And it didn't. What they did was they ended up hurling insults at him. You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. And we know that God spoke to Moses. But as far as this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. Now, in John's gospel, already back in John chapter 5, Jesus said to them, if you believed in Moses, you would believe in me because Moses wrote about me. So why aren't you believing? Well, they have no reason to believe as far as they're concerned. So the man now is kind of irate. This man that can now see is somewhat irate because nobody's happy for him. He said, now that's remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. So that's twice that we've heard this in John's gospel. But I want you to know that that's who Jesus hears all the time. Before you and I became a Christian, we may have lived a life that was far removed from God, but he was never lost from us. He was with us before we took the first breath as a baby. He will always be with us. He's listened to us even before we knew he was there. There's never a moment in our life when he's not beside us and hearing us and asking us to come to him, setting things up in our life where we can come to him. It was a false teaching that Jesus doesn't listen to sinners. Of course he does. It's the constant invitation of Jesus for all to come to him. And then the man goes on to say, he listens to the godly person that does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. You can't worship here. They threw him out. Let me get this right. Jesus comes to a man all of his life not being able to see. Jesus heals him. He can now see. All he's doing is seeing. I'm just seeing. No one's happy for me. Everyone's judging me. I don't even know the man. I want to know the man. I'd love to meet the man. I'd love to meet the man. Jesus is always giving us an invitation to meet him. We've already been introduced to him in John How many times? Over and over and over and over again. And now here comes this one-on-one. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they had thrown this man out. And Jesus went and found him, and he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" Now remember, he still doesn't know who Jesus is. He's never seen Jesus. Jesus healed him of being born blind, but man never did see Jesus. "Who is he, sir?" the blind man who can now see asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." And Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, I'm the one, he's the one speaking with you." I'd love to know more of the dialogue. Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And now there are people rejoicing, all the angels. Jesus said, "For judgment, I have come into this world so that the blind will see, and those who see will be blind." In other words, this man was blind, now he can see, and now he wants to see spiritually. There were others who had eyesight, but they were blind spiritually, and they did not want to be healed from being blind spiritually. They liked it just the way it is. "I don't want to change a thing." And Jesus is all about constantly changing us. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What are we blind to?" And Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of this sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." In other words, could God have sent anyone better than Jesus that would fulfill all of God's wishes and promises? No. Is there any other Savior who will be your Savior? Who will be better than this one? No. He came, he spoke, he lived, he gave. And he's never stopped giving. And the invitation for all of us is to have our eyes open to him. The invitation of Jesus is always there for all of us. Amen.